You're listening to Eureka on Monocle Radio, brought to you by the team behind The Entrepreneurs, the show all about inspiring people, innovative companies, and fresh ideas in global business. I'm Tom Edwards. Today's program is a tasty blend of entrepreneurship and entertainment. Charlie Hamlet is not only an established actor, he's also the co-founder of Crafty Boys, a catering and craft service provider for film and TV sets, which he launched with his brother Louis. And it's truly a family business, with their dad running their van workshop in the Cotswolds and hand-building their kitchens. The duo have a fleet of vehicles that cater to the industry's leading TV and film companies, including Netflix and Amazon, and have so far worked on more than 100 sets, powering crews through shoots with their delicious services on projects for Wes Anderson, Judd Apatow, and all three seasons of Bridgerton. So, how do you balance pursuing an acting career with the delivery of catering excellence? And how do you make it work as a proper family business? Charlie stopped by Midori House and he began by telling me about the origins of Crafty Boys.
So, Crafty Boys, which is a on-set high-end caterer now and craft service provider, was founded by my brother Louis Hamblett and myself. Louis is a couple years younger than me. And he'd left university, completely terrified. The whole family started working in a cafe, which nothing wrong with that, but he had a really good degree. We were, you know, had quite high hopes. I didn't get one, so, you know, there was this sort of expectation on him. And he got obsessed with coffee and he got obsessed with food and he saw what the hospitality sector could do. He thought it was really interesting. We were back home a lot in about 2018. My sister wasn't very well. She was diagnosed with a brain tumor, and she's doing great now. But at the time, my brother and I were home a lot. We hadn't seen each other really since Louis went to university. And so there was this reconnection, space for me as an actor, suddenly being home a lot more than I was. And Louis and I got to know each other sort of profoundly better than we had done, you know, towards the end of our teenage years. And he bought a vintage caravan. And I don't know, in a sort of sense of needing to make sense of the world, he started doing it up, avoiding asbestos, stripping out bits of, you know, plastic and God knows what that was buried deep beneath like a farmer's field at one point. And so we started doing it up together. My dad said, you know, go in and help him with this and see what it could maybe become. And, you know, we started off doing events and small sort of projects. But, you know, I quickly thought, hang on, maybe this could become something else, something more significant. And so it was really out of crisis, something that has really become something profoundly important to both myself, my brother, and to our wider community as well.
And I think what's really interesting is it brings these two worlds together, as you said, hospitality, doing things with real attention and craft and care, which is obviously something that we're always interested in, but crossing over with this world that you knew and know very well. And it seems like it was quite organic and you just thought, well, hang on, there's a lack here when I'm on set or when I see the general standard of some of the provision, the catering, coffee in particular, it's not up to scratch. Was it just that you just began to sort of put those two things together? It wasn't like you sort of sat down and said, I'm going to come up with a business plan or anything like that.
Not at all. There was no sort of, you know, board meeting between myself and my brother where we said, you know, this is our 5-year plan. We had a desire to create something. I mean, anyone who's been in the arts professions, anyone who's been an artist or works in the creative sector has an enormous amount of unheralded business acumen. You have to survive, essentially. You know, trying to get an arts council funding, you know, is tantamount to creating sort of an IPO'd business. Like, it's just such scale and rigor that goes into it. So I've been an actor for a long time. It's always an up and down journey. And I think in relation to setting up a company, we realized that we had a number of strengths between us. I'd been in the industry a long time. I knew a lot of people. And I mean, I have to tell you, like, there are WhatsApp groups dedicated to bad catering on set. I mean, they are, you know, they're essentially private memes that get sent around productions. And so we had this sort of realization that, you know, not only could we maybe offer a different level of service, but also a completely different level of product. And that's what we've aimed to do for the last few years.
And it intrigues me, and I was asking about this just before we started the recording, that you have in your crew still a lot of people who are creatives, probably first and foremost, but they're doing this balancing act. They need to have a separate, steady income stream, but they've got a much broader set of interests. And it's the majority, I think you're saying, of your staff
That's really interesting, because in some ways it's counterintuitive to think that people who are sort of doing several things at once could be the best at doing any one thing. But it's absolutely the case, because they have a breadth of different interests and experience. It's just a really interesting that it works out that way.
It is. I mean, it's not without its complications, but our crew are... I mean, it sounds trite to say it on this lovely podcast, but there's something that our crew genuinely are the heart of what we do. They are the front-facing element of our organisation, but they also liaise with everyone, all heaven and earth, that comes to the who's in the film set and comes to the vans. And, I mean, we started really, really had our boom during COVID. That was when we really kicked off, and all the American productions were still running, and we were sort of having to navigate, you know, all of the PPE measures and social distancing requirements. And so that was a challenge in itself. But we had a crew who were desperate to create a sense of community. So we were essentially bubbled together. And so we had creatives whose businesses, lives were decimated by COVID. It was already tough, but it got incredibly tough for them then. And so we, as Crafty Boys, became this, you know, wonderful island that we could, you know, create. There's an enormous amount of teamwork. There's this huge amount of self-organization as part of being a crafty, is what we like to call them. That really reflects the skill set of someone who is creative, is naturally entrepreneurial. And it reflects, you know, the values that Louis and I have, which are come in, ask questions. You can fail. Like, you have to fail, because otherwise you're not going to know how things go wrong and how you can maybe improve. And so we've embedded that as part of our culture. You know, it wasn't something that we decided. It was something that we saw best reflected the people that were around us.
I like that, and I like the idea of learning. Even when things are going well, there's a big learning just around the corner. To take an example, I know
you
guys worked, obviously, on Bridgerton. People may have heard of it. I gather it was fairly successful. Yeah. But even that, it's funny, you sort of prep, you know, you're thinking it's going to be a big challenge. And as I understand it, it was a far bigger challenge even than you anticipated. So even when things are kind of going well, something can surprise, and you've got to pivot and adapt. And
yeah, I mean, Bridgerton was the first show we ever did as sort of a formal long-term contract, and we knew nothing. We had an idea of what our product would be, but God, we didn't know what scale was until we met 500 extras coming at us asking for a panini all at the same time. And, you know, it's this really practical nature of our business that we'll never sort of get away from. Crafty will maintain a sort of identity that it liaises between people. There's this connection constantly, and sort of, you know, trying to create, have a smiling face alongside, you know, hungry, midnight, starved extras was always something we've that's still tough. But in terms of, you know, what we were prepared for, we've constantly been surprised. I mean, as we went along the way, every time things settle, things change. It's a business that requires us to, I mean, Louis and I talk every day. He runs the operation side of the business, and I come on side more in liaising with the productions that we have or the line producers that we work with. That's my sort of role. And so we have this distinct working relationship. I mean, it works quite well, but until, you know, I was in Buenos Aires filming last year. I was filming a Netflix TV show, and the strikes kicked in, and it was like this third act of God. And so Louis and my sort of conversations while I was away, I mean, I think he was less than pleased, you know, at that point, you know, that I was far, far away from him.
And tell me about that, because there's these various sort of truisms, which, you know, on this program we talk about all the time. And you know, don't work with family. What is it? Don't work with kids.
Don't work with family, don't work with kids.
Animals,
don't work with
animals, et cetera.
But, and we employ loads of animals. They're great.
At making latte. But so many of the businesses that are really thriving that I talk to on this show are family concerns, husband and wife teams, brothers and sisters, all the rest of it. And there is something, is it the, I don't know, what is that magic ingredient? Is it just that there's that funny shorthand that you kind of understand each other on a deeper level? And even if you're physically apart or you're literally working on something else, you can still, there's a sort of an economy and efficiency of how you communicate with one another. What is the sort of that kind of X factor?
Well, I can only speak for myself, and, you know, Louis is hard at work today and sent me here. But I'd been an actor for 6-7 years before we set up Crafty Boys, and it always felt incredibly solitary. And there was this profound shift one day when we were faced with a really difficult day. God knows what had gone wrong. You know, generators had packed in. You know, that we've had it all, really. And I had this realization that having a partner that I could rely on in my brother, having a language where we can be radically honest with one another. I mean, it's not something, because it came from this moment of crisis where we were being incredibly, for want of a better word, we were being incredibly real with one another. What was going on? What did we want? And so having had those conversations, I realized in moments of peril, which running a business, there will always be tons of moments of peril, I knew I had my brother there. And that is the most extraordinary and life-changing thing for me, to have faith in someone else as you're growing something. Yeah, so I'm very lucky, and I hope he says, you know, a slither of that. I wouldn't expect him to.
We need to get yeah, him in.
The other side of the story is, Charlie, God, I don't know where to begin.
Radical honesty. I like it. There's perhaps something in that. So tell me about the fact that, you know, as you said, you're still working. I mean, I don't know. Does it matter? How do you define, are you sort of an actor and an entrepreneur? What do you, I don't know, if you're introducing yourself, does it matter how you label?
I don't think about it too much, to be honest. I think as soon as I begin to head down one route of self-definition, I find it really restrictive. And I think that was always the obstacle for me when I was in my sort of early to mid-20s. It felt incredibly difficult to define myself as anything other than an actor. And that meant that, you know, I had an enormous amount of drive. And it's probably the reason that I persevered through some pretty tricky moments being an actor. But at the same time, it felt restricting. I really admire people who do lots of different things. It's both a sort of necessary product of cost of living crisis and the nature of the fact that living in London is incredibly expensive. But also it's a strength. I mean, we go to school up until the age of about 18. If you go to university afterwards, you're doing multiple different things with your life. You have so many different interests. And in that sort of moment of definition at the age of about 18, you maybe push these things to the side and your hobbies become not that important to you. And I think Crafty Boys has been this, I mean, moment of, like, you know, actualizing that part of myself that was really distinctly left behind. And so I've been very lucky to get in touch with maybe parts of my brain that, you know, had been, you know, discarded almost.
Do you think it's helped you professionally as an actor to be running a business?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's incredibly hard work in terms of, this is a small company. Every decision is running through the directors, myself and my brother, and our core team who, you know, are on the ground with us as well. And yet at the same time, there was this pressure relieved. I mean, being an actor, you're always waiting for the next job. It doesn't matter how well you're doing. It will never change. And I think that's the thing I realized. Oh, my God, this will never shift, being an actor. Like, it will always be pretty high stakes. And I've added something which is not without its jeopardy. And moments that will crop up constantly throughout the week that you'll go, oh my God, can we do this again? You know, but there is this sense of relief, honestly, that I have something else going, something that has meaning, something that gives me purpose. Yeah, so I'm very lucky in that respect.
Charlie, then what does the next phase look like? Because I guess one of the other challenges, you've spoken already so well, both on the business side, on the acting side, you never know what's around the corner. COVID, strikes, all these things that can come completely out of left field and derail the best laid plans. And we know that's what the business is like. It's unpredictable. As you said, you can be moments from the next hit, the next absolute wipeout. So how do you and your brother calibrate your own expectations almost in terms of what you want to do next? Do you have really clear goals? Do you have to leave things a bit more TBC and just be sanguine about that?
I would say both is true. You know, we have pretty clear goals about where we want the business to be. After a strike and sort of two major COVID lockdown shutdowns that the industry faced, some stability is always quite exciting. And we managed to adapt and grow from, you know, a teams of 3 to 30 within the time that we've been going in the last sort of 3 or 4 years. So sustaining that is pretty paramount for us. Beyond that, we've transitioned really from providing a level of service that was this bespoke, almost specialty cafe reflected food truck entity on set that was your cafe, you know, on a film set, which is normally a car park in the middle of, you know, Enfield or something. So we were hoping to bring, you know, a little bit of almost like Monocle style magic into the film industry. We've now transitioned into main unit catering, and that's this very different challenge. The imperative of timing, needing to get the food out at a certain point, has completely shifted. And with that, we've added, you know, a different core group to our team. We have chefs working with us now who are instrumental in driving the company forward. But I think that the film industry is incredibly wasteful and not particularly environmentally friendly. And we're coming in at quite an interesting point where the metrics for which you're judged as a company are shifting. We are now expected to hit certain standards that we weren't requested of, you know, when we first started. And so as we're at this point of growth, we've sort of had a conversation, Louis and I, of going like, if we want to do this big main unit catering, of which is on WhatsApp groups and, you know, discarded food is just thrown into the bin. There's this just culture of waste. Maybe we want to do it a little bit different. You know, we can't radically shift everything. You know, the food is always going to have to come out at a certain point. But there's this opportunity, I think, for us to do something a little bit differently where we will focus on quality, really slim down certain sort of gross measures that have been in place in the film industry for a long time. And that's our sort of next stage, really.
That was Charlie Hamblett, the co-founder of Crafty Boys. And you can learn more about the brand by heading to thecraftyboys.co.uk. And that's all for this episode of Eureka. We'll be back at the same time next week. The programme was produced by Laura Kramer, with mixing and editing by Jack Dewars. You can listen again and find out more at monocle.com, or follow us and browse the archive via your preferred podcast platform. If you'd like to get in touch with the team, email Laura on lrk@monocle.com. I'm Tom Edwards. Goodbye, and thanks for listening to Eureka.